My name is Ryan Bragg. I'm a principal with the Vancouver studio of Perkins & Will, and I led the architectural team for the two buildings that are in front of us, 555 and 565 Great Northern Way. So we're standing in the plaza that is immediately adjacent to the Emily Carr University, as well as directly in front of 555 and 565 Great Northern Way. It's also bounded by Great Northern Way, which is a major traffic arterial in the city. But this area is in fact going to see dramatic change in the near future. The new SkyTrain line, the new Millennium Line extension, will arrive at Thornton Street in about 2025. And that, combined with all of the new development around which that surrounds us right now, is going to have a complete transformation of this area. So this campus is going to become a cultural precinct, which is really focused around technology and artistic endeavors. The transformation of this campus is made possible by a donation of land by Finning, which happened a number of years ago. And Finning used this land for their industrial enterprise. And as a result, these sites are all brownfield sites. So they're sites which may have, and in some cases did have, contamination, but they have been treated poorly over the years. And through remediation and redevelopment, we're now seeing this area become a very important sector within the city of Vancouver. So we've just walked down the main pedestrian walkway that really ties the entire campus together. We're standing in front of the pavilion. We took the potential zoned area for the building, which was very long and low, and we shortened the footprint of the building, but we raised it up. And we raised it up, and in doing that, it provides the opportunity for better views and a much more saleable and leasable space for the developer. But it also provides a much larger space for the students of Emily Carr and the workers and the students of the entire campus, as well as the surrounding neighborhood. And so that social benefit is already being realized, and it will be realized as this area continues to redevelop. And within the center of that plaza, the enlarged plaza, sits a 2,000 square foot pavilion. And this pavilion is striking. It is bright red and voluptuous in form. It has been likened to flowers and to vegetables. It essentially looks like an upside down tulip, but it's covered in bright red shingles and it's constructed of wood. So the intent of this pavilion is really to be a sculpture within the enlarged plaza. But in doing so, it gave us as architects the opportunity to really explore the potential of materials and the potential of form. Chip Wilson is one of the partners in the development, and Chip really wanted to have something that would have notoriety and that would really attract people to this area. And as architects, that's a wonderful thing to hear. So what we did was we looked to nature and to computational design in order to inspire this very interesting and unique form. So when you're inside the building, you really feel like it's almost like you're inside a cocoon or a nut. It's like you're inside of an acorn. This building also serves a very social function. It's a coffee shop. It's a very elegant and beautiful coffee shop, but it sits within the plaza and it allows all of the users for the entire campus and the neighborhood to congregate, to come to the plaza. It gives the plaza a much more of a reason for being. And it starts to become like the main walkway and the pedestrian areas through the campus are a connector. This becomes a social connector for the entire community. We've now moved down the pedestrian walkway a little ways, and the pedestrian walkway has a number of very functional and very sustainable moves to it. First of all, all of the vegetation that is being used within the pedestrian walkway and all of the planters they require very little irrigation, and many of them are indigenous. We also have chosen to construct the planters in which they sit out of steel. Because they're not constructed out of concrete, it allows us to increase the volume of soil. And because this is a narrow space and we are in a very urban environment, what we wanted to do was maximize the volume of soil without having large planters that would be obstructing view and would be obstructing people's movement. it's very evident that this entire walkway slopes, and it slopes at a level that allows for accessibility. So people with mobility issues can certainly move back and forth very easily. But the other thing that it does is it takes the water from the plaza, and it moves that water through all of these planters and through runnels that you can see along the planters. It moves that water down with gravity, and then it is filtering some of it, and it's allowing for that irrigation to occur before it eventually gets to the bottom of the hill, if you will, at Carolina Street. And at the bottom of Carolina Street, then it enters the sewer system. So we're trying to use the stormwater as much as we possibly can before it enters the services of the city. Because this area of the city is being transformed, we were very cognizant to look at what the existing mobility options will be, as well as what the future mobility options will be for the area. The benefit of this location is that it's just on the edge of the city, really. We're in an industrial area that has been transformed many times over its lifetime, and mobility is really critical to its success. There are also bike racks for bike share, so that's part of the overall bike share program within the city of Vancouver. We have co-op cars, which are located within and around the building, as well as electric vehicle charging within the parkade of the building. Light rail coming to this site is going to completely transform the ability for people to move in and out of the site, as well as what will be developed around it. And the amount of office development, educational development, and residential development is going to completely change the landscape that we see. And this building and this development, the ability for people to move in and out right now, this will set the bar and become an indication of what's happening in the future. We'll now go into the building. So we're now in the lobby of 565 Great Northern Way. It feels a little bit like an art gallery, and that's quite intentional. The developer and the partners within the development have, as you can see, installed a number of pieces of art. This art will be a collaboration with Emily Carr over time. The ceiling is essentially a cedar ceiling that runs inside the lobby, and it also runs outside. The soffit becomes the soffit of the first floor of the lobby and the first floor of the building. And what that does is it really introduces an element of warmth and an element of nature into a space that is quite Spartan. The location of this building that sits right on the street and is really engaged with both the vehicles as well as the Central Valley Greenway, which is a major cycling route that runs through the city all the way out to Surrey. All of that is very much on display. But then as we turn to the west, what we see is, again, the voluptuousness and the color, the vibrancy of the pavilion. And so the pavilion really becomes the other side of the lobby. It's in fact seen as part of the overall lobby, and the lobby feels like it's about twice as big, and it has the biggest sculpture you can ever imagine in a lobby. So we're now on the seventh floor of the office. This is the top floor, and we're in a typical office building, typical office floor. And what this shows us is actually what's very typical of this building, too. The mechanical system that we have is a four-pipe fan coil system that allows us to heat and cool simultaneously with water. So it's hydronic. It's a very efficient system. And that system is also connected to the district energy system that runs in this area. And that runs all the way from Southeast Falls Creek, and it runs further east as well. So all of that allows us to bring our energy costs down. We're shading the windows, and we're putting in a very high-performing envelope to the building. All of that produces energy. Within the spaces themselves, you can see that this is a very narrow office building. It's long and narrow, and that means that no matter where you are on the office plate within the floor, you have incredible light. And so we're standing near one of the windows, but you can see that all the way across the building, we have this great light. And that occurs on every floor, no matter where you are. What the lights do within this building is they're on occupancy sensors or they're on daylight sensors. So where we have as much light as we have right now, we can see none of these lights are on. We don't have a single light on in this area because there's enough natural light that we don't need it. As well, we have operable windows, and the operable windows allow users to open those windows. Another important aspect of what the building has as a base building are materials that don't off-gas. They're low VOC, or volatile organic compounds, and that means that they're safe for the users. We also, in our projects, we use a red list that we've developed at Perkins & Will, which means we look at all of those materials that we know are harmful and we don't put them in our buildings. We look at all those materials that we think may be harmful and we try and avoid those as well. One of the most important things about this building and about sustainable buildings is actually the commissioning that occurs within the building. And that commissioning is essentially running all of the systems and all of the mechanical, all of the equipment through its paces. And you do that for at least a year. And what that does is it tells you when things are working, it tells you when things aren't working. And what we do with the commissioning process is we monitor what's happening and we measure that against what we modeled. And where the two don't correlate, there has to be a reason. And it may be that the model was wrong, but more importantly and more often than not, it's that someone's not using the building properly. And so that process of making sure that the building operates the way it was designed to and the way it was intended to is really important. And what we don't see the effect of that, but what we do understand is that every time we can fix one of those elements, the building is more efficient and occupants are more comfortable and the building works better. So we've now arrived at the rooftop of this 7-story building, and the first thing that really grabs your attention is the fact that we have views that are almost 360 degrees. They provide an incredible opportunity to see the city in its grandeur, as well as all the North Shore mountains. This view is really created by that rezoning that was mentioned before, and it's the opportunity to get up a little higher, so we're seeing over top of Emily Carr, and we're presented with this view with a foreground of a green roof, and then in the background, of course, we have the wonderful North Shore Mountains. On two ends of this roof is urban agriculture. And what that allows the workers within the building is to plant, they can plant kitchen gardens, essentially. They could plant anything, but they can plant kitchen gardens, which allows them to have lettuce and peas and tomatoes. Corn, in fact, has been grown on this roof. It really speaks to a social sustainability. It's an opportunity for workers to gather as it sits within the center of a creative campus, with a technological campus, and is filled with companies that are really striving to attract and retain the best talent. These opportunities for collaboration and for congregation are so important. Perhaps the most compelling aspect of this project is really being given the privilege and the opportunity to take an area that is transforming and to set the bar, or to set the tone for what may happen in the future. That's something that is truly an honor as an architect, because we know that what we build will hopefully last for a century or more, and to have the privilege to be influential in where a city might go. That city building idea is perhaps the most important, and to make sure that the future of Vancouver as a green city is being forwarded by every building that we build.